Heavenly Father, I pray you take this time and that you would focus us on your word, on Christ, on you, and not on this world and all of its allurements. I pray that you would use this time to help us see more clearly Christ, to help us be built up in him, and for your Spirit to come and move and do those things. Holy Spirit, come. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're in 1 Timothy 2. We'll be doing verses 9 and 10 today. And let me ask you if you've ever seen someone who was focused on the wrong things. You know, maybe a famous basketball player focused on basketball and being the best and winning championships and so on. And then basketball ends. And now what? Or men focused on their career and getting ahead, but in the process of doing that, he loses his wife and his kids. And so Christians have their own versions of this. Our versions are often no more than the pleasantness of this world and pursuing the pleasures of this world, instead of things that are much more important than that. You know, we don't have time to read God's word, but we have time for Facebook or TikTok or, you know, whatever. We don't have time to serve God's kingdom, but we have time for watching Netflix. Christians do this kind of thing. Men, women, both do this kind of thing. And it's that our focus is off when that's the case. God offers us eternal joy with him, but we would rather watch soccer. That's, you know, that's what we do. And it's not that soccer or Facebook or whatever is wrong. There's nothing wrong with those things. That's not the issue. It's just not where God wants our focus. It's not the main thing. We make that more important than things that God says are much more important. So today we're going to see Paul addressing something like that. That principle of your focus is on the wrong things. That's what Paul's going to be talking about today. I'm going to read. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 8. I'm going to read 8, 9, and 10. It says, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Now, last week I told you that these verses, 8, 9, and 10, are a unit, and they go together. And the structure is men, and likewise women. And so he's doing a contrast, or he's addressing two different audiences, but it's a unit, men and women. And that verses 8 and 9 are actually held together by one verb that's up in verse 8. There's only one verb in verses 8 and 9, and that verb is I desire. I desire men to do this. Likewise, women to do this. And last week, we focused on the men. And I told you next week, which is today, we'll get to the women part. And so last week, the main point was this. Men should pray. That's right. I'm glad you remember it. That's good. It's very simple. It's a very simple point. Men should pray. And we talked about that point that men should pray, but also how. Lifting up holy hands. And and prayer is to be holistic. It entails your life. It entails your relationships. All this is part of prayer. It's not just a task for you to go and say some words to God. And because we men are more prone to separating prayer from life and turning it into a task, kind of check, I did that. We're probably more prone to that than women are. I'm not saying women don't do that, but men probably are more prone. We talked also about how men are to lead in the church and how prayer is central to that leadership. And so, and the phrase lifting up holy hands is a way of expressing corporate worship. And so he is talking about a corporate worship here within the church. And I mentioned that there are people who say that's all this is, but I also believe the words in every place refer to more than that. And so this is talking about corporate worship, no question about it, but I think there's more there too. And so all of this that I just said is review. That was last week. That was the men part. Today we're going to shift to what Paul says to the women. And as we get into what Paul says, when Paul starts talking to the women, what he's going to be saying is much less popular today. Much more makes people mad. The kinds of things he's going to say to the women. Makes a lot of people mad, at least in the West, for sure. And people complain, and they say something like this. Paul talks to the men about prayer, and he talks to the women about clothes? I mean, come on. Well, yes, kind of, except there's a whole lot more here than clothes that Paul was talking about. And if all you see in verses 9 and 10 is clothes and jewelry and hair, I think you're actually missing the point, if that's all you see. Now, certainly Paul does mention clothes and jewelry and hair, but he mentions them as examples that illustrate, or maybe I should better say, that fail to illustrate his main point. And so I want to begin by having you just look at the structure of verses 9 and 10. And so when you look at it, he says this, verse 9, women should adorn themselves this way. And then he tells you how they should adorn themselves, right? So they should do this. And then at the end of verse 9, he said they should do this, but not that way. And then there's a negative, not that way. And then we go back to verse 10. And he says, but this way. And so you have women should and women should. And in between those, not this way. You should see that. That's the structure. And what tends to get all of the complaints in this and all of the bulk of the press in these verses is the negative part. It's the not this way part. And the reason the negative part gets most of the complaints perhaps, is that it is the most specific. And that makes it the easiest target. And certainly, at least in the West, we just don't like it. That's why that gets most of the complaints. But what if Paul said this? What if you took the not part out and you just read what women are to do and take out the not part? And Paul said merely, I desire women to dress respectably, with modesty, with self-control, and with good works. If that's all Paul had merely said, people would have no problems with this passage. And yet, here's the thing. That is exactly what Paul is saying. He is saying that is what women should do. And so our problem with Paul is that he gives the contrast. He gives the not this way part. And we don't want him getting too specific. So then what I want to do is I really want to focus on what women should do. And we'll talk about the contrast in the course of it, but the focus needs to be on what Paul's saying they should do, not what he's saying they should not do. Because the should not part is just to illustrate the should part. So they are to dress respectably, with modesty, self-control, and good works. That's what he says they should do. So let's take these. We're going to take them in turn. Dress in respectable apparel. So he's saying when you dress respectably. The first thing I want to say about this is this. Paul is not saying, women, dress ugly. That's not what he's saying. He's saying dress respectably. Respectably is not ugly. Those are different things. He's not saying, women, wear gray canvas dresses and black shoes and, you know, whatnot. And sometimes that's how people interpret this. They read this and they say that's what Paul is saying. But ugly is simply not in this passage. And so we don't want to go there. That's not Paul's point. Dress respectably. And then he's going to talk about what that entails. With modesty and self-control. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about the words modesty and self-control is that they are attitudes. And so you need to see that. They actually are heart issues. Modesty is a heart issue, not a dress issue. It's a heart issue first. Self-control, same thing. And so Paul is talking about a lot more than just how you dress here. He's talking about who you are, ladies. And that's actually more important than how you dress. See, modesty is part of, it's part reverence, part respect, part humility. All of that's tied up in modesty. Those are aspects of it. And it's like a humble respect for God's people and for God. That's what modesty is. And so, ladies, that's actually the main thing. A humble respect for God and his people. God wants you humble and respectful amongst God's people. He also wants you to control yourself. Self-control is the other thing. And And when the scriptures talk about this self-control, it's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You think of Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. You know, those who are controlled by the Spirit have the fruits of the Spirit. And he lists them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what this is. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is something the Holy Spirit produces in you. Paul is saying, that's what you're to have, ladies. Now, if you put this together, a humble, respectful heart, full of self-control. If this is who you are, will this affect how you dress? You better believe it will. So then, have a modest, respectful, self-controlled heart. And then dress accordingly. Now, if I were to describe what Paul is saying about women's dress here, as simply as I could, I would put it this way. Ladies, do not dress flashy. Do not dress to show off. Let your dress reflect a humble, modest, respectful heart. Let it come from that heart. Let your dress bring glory to God and not glory to you. That's the issue. I'm much more concerned that your heart is the kind of heart that Paul talks about here than I am concerned about having you basically reduce this to a list of rules, you know, about how long your skirt is or how you do your hair or whatnot. I'm more concerned about the heart issue than the hair issue, and so is Paul. He's making that the main thing. The details of your dress need to be downstream from a right heart. What that means is that the heart must be the fountain and your clothes flow from the heart. That's the idea that Paul is getting at. The inside is much more important than the outside. That's actually Paul's central point here. Clothing and jewelry and hairstyles are all external things. Modesty and respect and self-control are all internal things. He's saying, let the external things come from the internal things. And so he's saying, don't show off on the outside. Don't dress to draw attention to yourself. Let a right heart drive how you dress. And so ladies, if you get the heart issues right, how you dress will follow. It'll happen. You'll actually want to honor God in how you dress. But if you make clothing the focus and forget the heart, and you know, you have your rules that you're going to follow for how you dress, what's going to happen is you actually may follow the rules and you may dress perfectly appropriately, but you're going to miss the heart. And that's the whole point. You've missed it by focusing on clothing. Now, this is much the problem with people who are angry at Paul. And actually at Peter, because Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter 3. But people are angry at Peter and Paul for talking about women in clothing. Their complaint
always focuses on the clothing, on the external part that Paul and Peter are talking about. But both Paul and Peter's point is built on a certain kind of heart. In Peter, it's let her adorning not be the outward of braided hair and gold and jewelry. Well, it's the same kind of stuff that Paul mentions here. But on the inner part of a gentle and quiet spirit. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 3. He's contrasting the outer and the inner. Paul is contrasting the outer and the inner. And so people wind up criticizing Peter and Paul on externals. And they entirely miss the whole point of what Peter and Paul are saying, because Peter and Paul actually are not focused on the externals. They're focused on the internals. And so to Paul, what's important are two things. The first one is your heart. That's verse 9. The second one is in verse 10. And that's your deeds. He says in verse 10, you're not to do it this way, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. And so what's important are those things, your heart and your deeds, not your hair, your jewelry, or your clothes. That's what's in the middle at the end of verse 9. So here's sort of a summary now. Verse 9. Your heart is more important than how you dress. That's verse 9. Verse 10. Your deeds, your works, are more important than how you dress. So your heart and your deeds are far more important than your clothes and your hair. This is the main message that I think Paul is saying to ladies. And I think he's addressing ladies here for two reasons. One is, in general, women tend to be more prone to making their physical appearance more important. That's a general statement. I'm not saying men never do that. There are men who do that. I've seen men who do that. Sometimes with men it's different. They're in the gym showing off their muscles and looking in the mirror, and you know, it can be a different kind of thing sometimes with men. But as a general rule, women, this is a bigger issue with women than it is with men. That's the first reason why he's addressing women here. The second one is, this was likely a live issue in the first century church. It's why he's addressing it to Timothy. And so we've talked now about verse 9 and the heart. Let's talk a little bit about verse 10 and the deeds. Let me just do this. I'm going to put it this way. It's as if Paul is saying something like this. Ladies, what do you pay more attention to? Helping the poor or your earrings? What do you spend more money on? Showing hospitality to the saints or your wardrobe? What do you spend more time on? Doing your hair and your makeup and your clothes in the morning? Or prayer in the morning? What are you more familiar with? The latest fashions or God's Word? What's more important to you? Serving the church or your face and your makeup? Are you more concerned to look good or to do good? Which Which concerns you more? Which occupies more of your time? To be pretty or to be holy? So ladies, Paul is challenging you to reconsider your priorities when it comes to how you look. And again, hear me out. He's not saying be ugly. Don't go down that path. Paul's not saying it, and I'm not saying it. Instead of that, he's saying be respectful. Be self-controlled. And be more concerned about how you live than you are about how you dress. That's what he's saying. And again, as I said earlier, this applies to men too in different ways. Sometimes men get more focused on other things than their physical appearance, rather than serving the church and helping the poor and prayer and so on. But this is why he's addressing the women in this way. And so he says this, dress this way, respectfully, with modesty, with self-control, with good deeds. Dress that way. Let your life be dressed in good works. He doesn't get specific about what that looks like in terms of clothing. You know, he doesn't say, but he gives you a picture of what it does not look like at the end of verse 9. Fancy hair, expensive jewelry, expensive clothes. He's saying that's not to be what you're about, ladies. And what I want to say here is Paul is here addressing normal life in the congregation of God's people. That's what he's addressing. He's not addressing your wedding day. He's not talking about, you know, special occasions. He's not talking about, ladies, if you have a job that requires you to dress up for your job, that's not what he's talking about. That if that's the case, you're not showing off there. You're actually, you have to do that to do your job. And everybody understands that. And so just hear me. It's not that you can't ever, you know, dress like your wedding day. You know, you can. There are times and occasions for that. He's talking about the normal life in the congregation of God's people. And he still gives the negative picture, not with braided hair, expensive jewelry, expensive clothes. And you get the picture. You get the picture because you've seen it. You know you have. You've seen women who dress to call attention to themselves. And they do that in lots of different ways. Paul mentions a few of those ways. You know, hair, jewelry, clothes, and so on. I can tell you, when I was single and I saw a single girl dressed for show, it turned me off. I wasn't interested in her. It was actually a red flag for me. A red flag's an English idiom. It means it was a warning for me. Caution. Whoop, 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 whoop. When I saw that kind of dress in a woman. And it's not that I was trying to judge her motives or anything. I actually never really thought about her motives. It was that I was actually looking for a woman who was simple and real. And dressing for show is neither simple nor real. It's phony. And here's the irony of it. The irony of that whole thing is that, so here's a woman who's dressing for show, and the reason she's dressing that way is to be more attractive. And I would look at her and she would be less attractive while she was trying to be more attractive. Now, ladies, this should be freeing to you in a way. You know, you don't have to dress fancy to be pretty. And you don't have to dress fancy to walk with God. And you don't have to dress fancy for people to love you. And you don't have to dress fancy to, you see what I'm saying? This is, and Paul's saying this. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to be a cover girl model. You have to be you with Jesus. That's what you need to be. Be you with Jesus. Let Jesus be in you. And let him be your beauty. When I met Leanne, she was not showy in her dress, but she was very pretty. But it's a different pretty. It wasn't the kind of pretty for the people who all had all, they had all the makeup and the big eyelashes and the, you know, they had all of that. And it turned me off. Leanne didn't have any of that. And she was very pretty. And her, she says grace. And her beauty was very simple. It was things like her smile. And her heart, a smile that came from the heart. You've seen the difference between fake smiles and yeah. smiles that come straight from the heart. Yeah. She had smiles that just come straight from the heart. And it was real. And she didn't have lots of makeup and jewelry and all that other stuff to be pretty. She attracted me without all of that stuff. In fact, she probably attracted me because she didn't have all of that stuff, among other things, of course. The other part of her that attracted me was her deeds, which is what Paul talks about in verse 10. See, she loved women, and women flocked to Leanne. Women just loved her. And she was willing to serve God's kingdom and not just stay home or hit the movies or go shopping or go out to eat or, you know, all that other stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that stuff. It's just that she wanted to serve God. And that was important to her. Christ had her heart. That is what Paul is focusing on with women. Christ has to have your heart. See, we were looking at verses 8, 9, and 10, specifically 9 and 10 today, but it comes after verses 5 and 6. This is the gospel. You know, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Verse 7, the next verse, then talks about how Paul was appointed to preach this to the Gentiles. He's appointed to preach the gospel. So he gives the gospel, says Paul's appointed to preach the gospel, and then says, okay then, now I desire the men to do this and the women to do this. In other words, the heart attitudes that Paul mentions here, you know, respect, humility, modesty, self-control, they come out of the gospel. And the good deeds that Paul talks about in verse 10, they come out of the gospel. And so, ladies, when Jesus gets your heart, he changes it. If your heart never got changed, maybe you don't have Jesus. He changes your heart. He just changes your heart. He makes it respectful and humble and self-controlled. He produces the good deeds that you are to dress yourself in, as Paul puts it. Paul says in verse 10, these good deeds are proper for women who profess godliness. In other words, we're not talking about good deeds just for their own sake. The deeds are tied to godliness. These are good deeds that are proper for women who profess godliness. And godliness comes only from God. That's where you get godliness. You can't have godliness without God. And so, in other words, what Paul is advocating for is that you walk with Jesus in faith. You let that be your focus. He will then produce in you a right heart, godliness, and the works that accompany godliness. When you have that, what's going to happen is you're going to want to honor him in everything, obviously, but you're going to honor him in how you dress and how you carry yourself. That is one area in which you will honor Jesus, and it will come from your heart. It will not be, I got to check this check mark and follow these rules. It will be, I actually want to dress this way because it honors Jesus. I want to dress this way because it honors the body of Christ, his people. And your focus will be on Christ and on what's inside, which is what Paul's talking about here. Let's pray.
Father, I want to pray that you make us, men and women, people who honor you from the heart and who focus our lives on Jesus and on our hearts being right. And I want to pray that out of that, you would then have us live the lives you want us to have, that you would produce the good works you want us to do, that you would show each person here what it is that you want us to do in terms of good deeds, how you want us to serve your people, how you want us to reach out to the lost, how you want us to show hospitality or to help the poor or to whatever it is. I pray that you speak to us what that is, and that it would come from the heart and from you and from your spirit. And I pray especially for the ladies, that's what the text was dealing with, that you speak to them and give them your heart, and that they would simply understand they don't have to be this model to have your love and to be accepted. I pray that. And that you would have them then dress in a respectful, honoring, self-controlled way that honors Christ. I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.